ladies and gentlemen, our great friend Richard Bailey.
Thank you, Colin. I was reflecting when Angus was talking about the hard work I've put in recent months to realise his vision of a bureaucracy that's smaller than it used to be. And I kind of want to begin with a little bit of advice on the pleasure of retirement. As you move beyond the tyranny of the diary and the obligatory daily journey to work, you focus on the issues which work brought to you less. Not only that, but when you do think about them, you think about them in an asymmetric way. The dross and the frustrations and the pointless activities and the ministers retreat into some waiting room for Dr. Alzheimer. Contrarywise, memory of the joyous, stimulating and rewarding elements are prompted by gatherings with old friends in congenial surroundings. It's really a most satisfactory way of life, and what could fit the bill better than joining old friends in Cornwall at the Headland Hotel? So thank you very much for inviting me to be here. Cornwall Works Wise Awards celebrate the most important and effective work done in Cornwall to lift God's own country to a position of centrality and success in the economic and social life of Europe. Given what's been happening on the diagonally opposed corner of Europe from us, you may think this should be getting easier, in the sense that some of the competition seems to be wavering. While we should never be complacent, I do suggest that the Greeks and the Portuguese and Irish and other countries with some difficulties share with us a problem which we in Cornwall addressed head-on about a decade ago and which Cornwall Works champions today. Too often in communities with weak economies, the drive for economic prosperity focuses on the visible and material aspects of success. The roads, the iconic buildings, the factories and offices. These are practical things which practical people can identify and grapple with. And they do matter. So we shouldn't be too critical of those who give them pride of place. And certainly even worse is when well-being is massaged with false impressions of success through subsidies which protect inefficiency and discourage innovation and change. Here in Cornwall, a different priority was identified: the people. What was realised was that without people who aspired, who dreamed of a Cornwall better for their grandchildren, none of the material investments would succeed, and certainly not for the people of Cornwall. And to turn aspiration into reality required education and skills and a deep, confident culture rooted in Cornwall. That is a lesson we should aspire to share with the rest of Europe today. Committing to this journey was not easy. Skills investment programmes had a tradition of underspending, of money going back to Brussels, the ultimate sin in Cornwall. And many, especially in business, were deeply critical of skills providers and the employability of those coming out of schools and colleges in Cornwall. Same story everywhere, some of you may say. Possibly true. But here in Cornwall, we could do something about it ourselves. Not only had Brussels provided investment opportunities, we had people with the ability to give real leadership to this agenda. But they didn't always recognise it, and others didn't always see it in them. At this stage, what was needed was an impresario with strong skills as a magician. someone who could really turn Cornwall upside down. And now I have to give up any attempt at suspense, because you all know that there was only one person trained from birth to live standing on their head and to treat with derision and contempt all flawed misconceptions about anything, especially if they came from England. Just Pommy Claptrap. I am, of course, talking of our own dearly loved Carline Kellerman. Of course, it wasn't all plain sailing. I remember the interview when Peter Davis, Colin Moulton and I first met Carline. Despite, or perhaps because of the fact that she had no experience working in the public sector, or of regeneration, or of managing that wonderful construct, public accountability, we were bowled over. The same can't be said for the candidate. And here I probably do have to take personal responsibility. So off-putting was at least one member of the panel that Carline spent quite a substantial period of time trying hard to explain to the panel why she should not be appointed. A carefully constructed offer overcame hesitations, but squalls weren't over. Language reared its threatening head. No, not Cornish. Carline enthusiastically supported that. It might have been English, given that her parents didn't have English as their first language, but that was tolerated, albeit with some personal development and embellishments, not to say accent, that we all came to love. No, the barrier was Whitehall officialese and technical Eurospeak and regeneration argot and local government mantras and acronyms. 3 days in and Carline nearly walked. But even in that short space of time, people had grasped that the very frustrations being felt by her were the reasons why this was exactly the right person for Cornwall. And once she realised this herself, the frustration turned upside down became the fulcrum for transformation. Let's start with the support she gave to private sector leaders to lead Cornwall. Coming from the private sector herself, a distinguished career in consultancy and industry, she knew that's where the private sector needed to be. But they needed to know what they really wanted, to get away from the free services for all companies in Cornwall attitude, to understanding what would really drive productivity-led growth. And she advised and coached and encouraged and became a deep and trusted friend and advocate and champion. Peter Hobson and Thelma Sorensen and Richard Newman and Carol Wells and many, many others came to rely on her understanding and common sense. And the strategy how she helped them to develop has stood the test of time. Focusing on micro and nano businesses to give them an equal part at the strategy table. Seeing the focus as not just jobs, but better jobs, paying higher wages because they were earning higher profits. Championing the need to ensure that change should not just make things better for those already enjoying the delights of Cornwall, but should reach those excluded and deprived and alienated. Seizing the opportunity of the internet revolution so Cornwall could brand itself not as 5.5 hours from London, but a click from New York. And getting the message across. This last point brings us to the second strand of Carline's impact. She knew that however great Cornwall's achievements were, no one would give credit if they didn't know about it. So telling the story became key to Brussels, to ministers, to parliamentarians and bureaucrats, to councillors and citizens. And she made sure that the stories of success were not, most of the time, told by politicians or officials, but by the people affected, the businesses, the students, the people coming out of unemployment, the people starting businesses and dreaming of a better Cornwall for their grandchildren, just as she's done today. But when there were problems, and there were a few, she'd come to those accountable, like civil servants, and say in her own irresistible way, "Your turn now, mate. Time to stand up and be counted." She created a voice for Cornwall without over-focusing the role on herself, which in itself says volumes about her modesty and humility and her sense of wider service. This modesty may be what made her such a powerful and natural and committed believer in doing things by and in partnership. So often the word is misused. Big organisations decide what they want to do and then consult, another abused part of the English language, their partners on what has in effect already been settled. None of that for Carling. Partnership meant all at the table for all the debate. It meant frank views expressed clearly and openly, not mealy-mouthed acquiescence in public and moaning in private afterwards. It meant openness to new ideas, not rallying to the status quo. Critically, it meant giving resource and support to those who needed to be at the table and lacked much resource and capacity of their own. And this led to the Partnership Office, which she, initially with Bill Borden and later with Mark Yeoman, developed, championing a network of catalysts and advocates and facilitators and challengers, opening up the debate, synthesising the ideas, shaping policy and driving delivery. Anyone who claims to work in partnership should measure themselves against her benchmark. The fourth strand of this revolutionary impact was the very direct focus she gave to supporting people. Some of this came from her enthusiasm for the skills programmes. This included her close work with FE colleges, themselves going through massive positive transformational change. It included her work with the CUC, with the Regional Employment and Skills Board, with the Cornwall and Isles of Scilly Employment and Skills Board. She acted on the advisory panel to the Devon and Cornwall Business Council. She was a tremendous champion of the European Social Fund, seeing how it could flex national skills priorities to suit Cornwall's priorities, and was an ally and at times a challenge to colleagues in the Learning and Skills Council, AKSFA, and the RDA, and GOSW, incidentally. By this time, I think she'd forgotten her initial fear of acronyms and quangos. She fairly gobbled them up, becoming along the way a great chum of the RDA chair and the GOSW regional director. Never underestimate Carling's networking skills. She has a deep understanding of the challenges of diversity. I'm not sure whether in this the experience of being the daughter of migrants to Australia trumps coming to work in England as an immigrant, but her passion for a fairer and more inclusive society is massive. She has specifically championed the role of women in business as an ambassador for women's enterprise in the UK. She's the patron and inspired role model of the Truro and Penwith College Empowering Smart Women Project, and was patron of the Cornwall College Smart Women Project as well, both focused on senior management training for professional women. She's a volunteer mentor for women in business and young people overcoming barriers to education or career progression. And her passion for diversity and for the excluded has meant that she's been a fantastic champion of the Welfare to Work initiatives developed with colleagues like Caroline Webster at Job Centre Plus and all those in the companies and third sector bodies supporting this work, which have made Cornwall a national beacon for excellence in this field. Carling lives, works, and breathes a faith that we can all do better today, tomorrow, and in our futures. She's also a wonderful role model for a rich, diverse life, working hard and enjoying leisure, focused at work and committed at home. She enjoys the good things of life, but way beyond that, she loves people. Friends, colleagues, and casual encounters all glow in the aura she excludes, and the positivity and caring generosity of her heart. And what next? We can only wait and see. But I, for one, as an ex-public servant, am delighted that in Carling we have somebody who, from a private sector background, found the reward of embarking on public service. I suspect we all hope to see Carleen continuing to develop that engagement, and whether locally, nationally or beyond, whether more or less in the world of politics, we can all be sure that people, their aspiration and their development will be at the heart of her agenda. Little of what I've said will be new to you, and few can have such a strong claim to be, like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. But of course there are weaknesses. There have been little slips, like being puzzled to find no cars at Carrick Roads, like assuming North Cornwall would be north of Truro rather than east. Perhaps these minor slips are part of her Australian upbringing, where all is simple and said how it is. I like to think they're part of a wider preference for walking away from the expected and turning things upside down, leaving the land of convicts to become a leader of sensitive capitalism, walking away from nascent Australian republicanism to become an ardent monarchist, becoming a British citizen just when the brand seemed to go sour on the rest of the world. Above all, it helps explain what, for me, is Carleen's greatest achievement of all, to have the very good common sense and sensitivity of taste to live in Devon, and yet to be so loved in Cornwall that I've never, ever heard her criticised for it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is your hugely deserving winner of the Cornwall Works Outstanding Achievement Award, and no one can deserve it more. Carleen Kellerman.
And hire me to do the best job I've ever had. There are so many people to thank. Some of them aren't in the room today, but my team, the publishing office, with the incomparable Mark Yeoman, have just been the greatest gift. And please, please thank them. Close this, Mark. Thank you so much. But I do believe in people. I believe that each of us have something very special inside, and that all of us need to join hands to make that happen. It was a magnificent opportunity to come into a partnership that shared that common value about releasing potential, who had the courage and the boldness to look for things such as the combined universities in Cornwall, who believed that the young child in Camborne wasn't going to be measured by a place that would hit some statistics being down and out, but had it in them to be an uncut diamond that someday should shine. And above all, I love you. Thank you.